There was a young man named John. No, not John who plays the drums here. This is another John. And he received a parrot as a gift one day. And this parrot, he had a really bad attitude. This parrot had a really even worse vocabulary. Now, every word that came out of this bird's mouth was rude, it was obnoxious, and in fact, it was laced with profanity. John tried and tried to change this bird's attitude by consistently only saying polite words to him, playing soft music, and anything else that he could do to clean up the bird's vocabulary. Finally, John was fed up, and he yelled at the parrot one day. The parrot yelled back. And John shook the parrot, and the parrot got even angry and even more rude. John, finally in desperation, throwing his hands up, he grabbed the bird and he put him in the freezer and he shut the freezer door. For a few minutes, that parrot squawked and kicked and screamed, and then suddenly there was total quiet. Not a peep was heard over a minute. Fearing that he had hurt the parrot, John quickly opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot calmly stepped out into John's outstretched arm, and he said the following: "I believe that I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I'm sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything that I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." Well, certainly John was stunned at the change in the bird's attitude. And he's about to ask the parrot what had made such a dramatic change in his behavior. The bird continued by saying, "And also, may I ask, what did the turkey do?" So I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anybody that you'd like to put into the freezer? For a while, at least. Just for a few minutes. You know, this message today is for everybody. If you talk, if you say words, then this message is for you. Because the words that we say are powerful. In fact, the title of this message today is simply words. Words not only impact others for the good or for the bad, they also impact us for the good or for the bad. You know, there's a few things in life that are still free. The air that we breathe is free. Government hadn't figured out how to tax that one yet. You know, God's beauty all around us to behold is free. A smile is free. In fact, why don't you turn to someone and smile? It's free. Just give them a free smile. Don't charge it. Yeah. A smile is free. A hug is free. Words are free. How we use them, though, they'll impact others. And those words, even though they're free coming out of our mouth, they can actually either be costly to us or they can be priceless to others. Words can inspire, words can discourage, words can build up, and words can destroy. Words can heal, but also words can harm. So we would be wise to choose our words well. You know, we would be wise to be careful with our words, because once those words are said, they can never be taken back. How many has ever regretted words that you've said? I'll raise my hand. You know, words are harmful. And if they are harmful, they can only be forgiven but not forgotten. I'm sure most, if not all of us, have been on the receiving end of some pretty hurtful and harsh words, and as long as we're alive, that's going to happen, and it's just not fun. You know, John Maxwell has a quote that I want to tweak a little bit, but his quote is, "Great people talk about ideas, average people talk about themselves, and small people talk about others." Ouch. But I want to tweak that by tweaking it to my message this morning by saying, great people build others up, average people build themselves up, and small people tear others down. You know, my hope is that we all will make a determination going forward as we leave here today to not be small people who tear others down, not even to be average people who just talk about themselves all the time. But let's be a great people, huh? That are constantly building others up. You know, the Bible speaks a ton about our words. Proverbs is just chock full of instructions about the things that we say and their impact on others' lives and on our own, for the good and for the bad. For example, here's Proverbs 12:18. It's up on the screen. There is one who speaks rashly as if thrusting with a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I just love these word pictures here because as words are being said to us, it's almost like we're being slashed and pierced and hurt with them. But then the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the loving, the tongue of the Christ-like brings healing. You know, oh, we need more of that, don't we? Proverbs 29:11 continues. It says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Just because it comes into our mind doesn't mean it needs to come out of our mouths. And just because it's in our hearts is anger or frustration or whatever doesn't mean that it needs to come out in the words that we say. It talks about being wise. And it's not an earthly wisdom. It's a godly wisdom that it's referring to. And that godly wisdom helps us to check our words. Here's another one in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A very familiar scripture. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, I love King David's heart cry. He wrote this, he wrote much of Psalms. And he wrote this chapter. It's a familiar one to us. In fact, there's an old song that we used to sing back in the day at church in Psalm 19:14. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You see, he's our audience. Think about it. The words that we say may be directed towards others, but he actually is our audience. And so this heart cry that David wrote, his desire is that every word that he uttered, every word from his lips would make his heavenly Father's heart glad. I'll never attain to that. I mess up every single day. But, oh, I love that heart posture. I pray that verse often in my prayers, in my prayer life. You know, just, Lord, just help me. And he probably helps me more times than I accept the invitation for him to help me, obviously. But David's desire should be our desire. I want to be that way. How about you? Yeah, that's just a great daily goal to aspire to. And we will not do this perfectly. Because we all make mistakes. We all have weak moments. But we certainly can do it with our whole heart, can't we? Yeah. And say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. You know, we know that we can't do this perfectly, but I want you to just listen to this verse again as David is actually giving us a clue as to how we can manage the words that we say. Because it's not just the words. See, it's all about the words. We hear the words and we think, well, why am I saying these words? Here's why, because it's from the meditation of man's heart that those words come from. You see, the words are the fruit, but the heart is the root. You see, Jesus actually said it this way in Matthew 12:34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we often talk about controlling our tongues. You just need to control your tongue. Or I'll tell myself, I need to control my tongue. And it's true, we should. We need to control our tongues. But unless we get to the root of our tongues, which is our hearts, then there's not much we can do about our tongues. It's just going to keep coming out. the words that we don't like as we hear ourselves say them. Why did I say that? It's because we're not checking in our hearts again and not letting the Lord really get in there and do something to the heart. Because you see, our tongues, if you can, I know this is not true in our anatomy classes, but spiritually speaking, our tongues are connected directly to our hearts. Directly. As it comes to words that we say. Because what's in our hearts will eventually and regularly come out of our mouths. What we rehearse in our hearts will ultimately formulate into words and sentences towards others. And I want to ask you this morning, as I ask myself, how's that going for you? And I hope the answer is good. But if not, let's continue to listen on. I want you to imagine a moment for me, your heart being like a garden. You know what a garden is. It's a beautiful piece of soil that we grow vegetables and fruits and all that stuff. So that's your heart. Imagine for me just a moment, your heart individually, it's a garden, okay? Now, in this garden of your heart, there's seeds that are being planted. Good and bad seeds, all kinds of seeds. It's a choice you make. You plant those seeds. No one's doing them for you. And then those seeds are watered, and then they're cultivated. They're nurtured. They're taken care of. And eventually, a crop will come out from all of that labor and all of that attention, and we'll see there's going to be a fruit result. How many has a garden physically? Isn't it rewarding to see those things come up? Oh, there's a squash, and there's a tomato, and all those beautiful things. You work hard for that. You know, let bugs out of the way, keep the weeds out, nurture it, water it, and all that. All of a sudden, beautiful ripe tomato and squash and all those vegetables that you enjoy at your dinner tables. So based on this analogy of our hearts, I want you to ask yourself a question. I'm asking myself this question. If the words are the fruit of our hearts, then what sort of seeds have we been planting? Because again, we got to go to the heart, don't we? It's not just the word saying, man, why did I say that word? Because there's something in our heart that's been planted in there that we've nurtured. We planted the seed. We watered it. We cultivated it. And the fruit is what's coming out of our mouths. So if we don't like what is coming out of our mouths, don't just curse our tongues, but let's draw attention to our hearts and say, wait a minute, there's seeds in there that need to be extracted and good seeds need to be put in its place. You see, that's really the question that we need to ask ourselves and be honest with the answer. We can't blame other people because of the way that they are towards us or because we don't like the way things are going with our life. That's just passing the buck. There's an opportunity for us to look at our hearts this morning and say, Lord, please help me to identify those seeds of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of hatred, of jealousy, of envy, of greed, of lust, and all those other things. Because if I keep those things in my heart, I'm going to expect a fruit of those seeds to come out in my speech. There's nothing you can do about it. The seeds that you plant will produce fruit of like kind and of greater proportion. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, we talk ugly about people that we don't like. We talk coarsely to people that we don't respect. We talk seductively to those that we want to seduce. We talk deceptively to those that we're trying to fool. And on it goes. That's in our heart, you see. Those are the seeds that we're planting. But if we plant seeds of forgiveness, and of love, and of peace, patience, and contentment, and the like, then we can expect the fruit of those seeds coming out to be in our speech as well. Because I just listed several fruit of the Spirit, didn't I? And those seeds of the Spirit that goes into our hearts, as we cultivate them and nurture them, there's going to be some good fruit that's going to come out of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We forgive those who spitefully use us. We turn the other cheek to those who are ugly towards us. We pray for those who are evil towards us. We walk away from hateful talk, and instead we lead and we see the conversation we are in with Christ-likeness. How about that? In our social media world right now, in our emails and texting world right now, it's so easy to drop those F-bombs and those horrible things in there and just hit send, and off it goes to the recipient, and we're 1,000 miles away, and there's very little that you can do about it. There's no reason for it. There's no place for it, and yet it's all around us. So I want to ask you, what sort of words regularly come out of your mouths? Not just in a moment of weakness, but I'm talking about continually. It's just there. Oh, it's time to identify those seeds. So the words that regularly come out of your mouth, if you like them, and if it's something you feel like, yeah, the Lord's pleased with this, then keep it up. You're planting the right seeds. You're doing well. But if the words that are coming out are those that we described earlier, then, man, keep listening. Because this message is for you. And it's for me. So which words would you rather say? Harmful words or healing words? Which words would you rather say? Angry words or loving words? Which words would you rather say? Tearing down words or building up words? Which words would you rather say? Discouraging words or encouraging words? Here's the fact of it all for all of us today. The words that we say reveal the condition of our heart. And if you'd rather speak healing and loving and building up words and encouraging words, then let's see what God's word says about how we can pivot towards that instead of how maybe we've been defaulting to often, maybe too often in our lives. Jesus, as part of a larger teaching, said this in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. It says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." That is such an important thing for us to listen to and to apply to our lives. You know, Jesus wants us to produce good fruit from our lips. That's his desire. That's his goal for us. But in order for good fruit to be produced, we need to give him access to our hurts, to our flesh, to our propensities, what we tend to want to do, to our past. Give him our past. Give him all that other stuff that's in our heart. Just everything that's there that makes us talk in ways that are contrary to being Christ-like. You know, and there's nothing that we can do. And I just want to say this. There's not a thing that we can do about people that say stuff to us. I can't make you talk nicely to me. And I can't make you talk lovingly to me. I mean, if you want to rail me, that's your choice. If you want to send me a hateful email, that's your choice. If you want to swear a blue streak and put a sailor to shame, that's your choice. Not a good choice, but it's your choice. My choice, my responsibility in that, and for all of us that have things said to us and awful stuff, is how we respond, right? And so I just want to just say that, because it's not fun when you have stuff said to you, sent to you, awful things like that. But it's the world that we live in. But we can be Christ-like. We can respond according to what Christ in our hearts would have us to do. So here's a few tools that I want to leave you with here today that maybe can help you to be more Christ-like in your words. And this is an example of Christ. This is not my ideas. This is what Jesus did when he was on the earth. How many wants to be like Jesus, right? Yeah, that's what Christian means, is like Christ. And so as we're like Christ in every way, let's also be like Christ in our speech, right? Okay. First one that I want you to write down is just put Be compassionate. Write down, be compassionate. Compassion is something that looks beyond the outward, the way they look, the way they act, that sort of thing. And it goes down deeper. It goes past all of the stuff that they're acting out or living out or talking out. And it looks to the heart. You see, Jesus had compassion constantly for people. He looked beyond their outward, and he looked through their eyes, through into their hearts in loving compassion. I want you to think about the woman at the well. She'd been married several times, and the one that she was living with, she wasn't married to that guy, you know. She'd been with a lot of guys. She was kind of an outcast. Jesus knew all of that, and yet, with compassion, spoke into her life and loved her into the kingdom. What about Matthew? One of the disciples wrote the book of Matthew. I mean, he made it in the Bible as an author. He was a tax collector. They did not like him back then. We don't really like tax collectors today, but he was really despised because back then he taxed his own people and then he kind of lined his pockets a little bit more. The government didn't care. The Romans didn't care how much he would collect as long as they got their share. And then Matthew collected a little bit more for himself. And so he became an outcast to his own people. Yet Jesus said, I love you. I have compassion for you. And I'm going to look past what everybody else says and thinks. And I'm going to draw you into a relationship with me. And through that, Matthew repented and converted. And he was won over to the kingdom. How many around in this life that we live that we despise? You see, we despise them. The fruit's going to come out. I despise you. But if we have compassion like Jesus did, we're going to see past their outward to a heart that needs love and salvation. Think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he was a spiritual leader. He was a religious guy. He was a Pharisee. They were not popular either because it was all about rules, 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 rules. And Nicodemus, though, there was something in his heart. And Jesus saw it. And Jesus said, I can work with that. And so of all the Pharisees that were saying crucify him and eventually condemned him to death, Nicodemus was kind of standing there trying to get to know him a little bit while he was doing his ministry. And Jesus says, how about let's meet at night somewhere. I'll meet with you, whatever it takes. And he did. And he drew Nicodemus. I believe Nicodemus became a believer. That time that he met. And he wasn't part of the ones that said crucify him on that day. He was a religious leader. And we can apply that to other people in our lives. It could be your boss. It could be a government leader. It could be someone that's in authority over you. You don't agree with them. Maybe you despise them. Maybe they're not your political bent. Maybe they're not somebody that you necessarily agree with because they're harsh and they're ugly to you and they treat you unfairly. Maybe someone that you think is your enemy, but they're really not, like Nicodemus, could have been easily put in that same category, couldn't he have, with the rest of the Pharisees, as the enemy of Christ. But Jesus said, no, I have compassion for you, and I'm going to look past your labels and your garments and everything else about you, and I'm going to reach into your heart, and I'm going to draw you into my kingdom. Think about the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. There she was. With stone in hand, everybody ready to just let her have it. And yet Jesus said, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Out of compassion, rescued her not only physically, but also brought her into relationship with Jesus. You see, what Jesus did was he bypassed what he saw on the outside. From the prostitute to the religious leader. From the woman caught in the act of adultery to a tax collector. And those are just four stories of many that Jesus looked past their outward, the way that they acted, their lifestyle choices, the way that they looked, their position in society, and he saw their need and reached out past all of that to their hurt. There are a lot of hurting people in the world today. And I want to tell you that if you get hurt by someone, that's because they're hurt as well, because hurt people hurt people. So don't take it personally. But in compassion, look past all of that that comes out at you. And just say, wait a minute, how can I be Christ to you? How can I, with a compassion? And you can't do this in your own strength. That's the thing. You need to get the compassion of Christ. So that's what I'm saying is, I'm having a hard time here loving this person. Well, then stop trying to do it in your own strength. Say, Lord, give me your compassion. Give me your heart for them. Help me to see past all of this stuff and help me to love them as you love them. How many thinks that Jesus loves every person that you're thinking of right now with an everlasting love? Don't you know that? Right? Jesus loves that person that you're having the most difficult time with right now with an everlasting love. Jesus died for that person just like he died for you. And Jesus has compassion for that person just like he has for you and me. And I got to be careful that if I'm pointing a finger at someone that I've got three pointing back at me. So I've got to be careful. I got to be careful. I'm going to walk this out in compassion. Amen. So just have the compassion of Christ. That moved him beyond his weariness, his frustration, all the other physical, human emotions and feelings that he had, because Jesus was fully God and fully man, right? So he had those same sort of senses of, man, I'm so frustrated with you guys. I'm just physically tired right now. I've kind of reached my end. But then he got along with his father. And he said, all right, I need you to give me some strength here. I need you to fill me back up with compassion. And then he stepped out, and he reached out, and he kept reaching, and he kept loving, and he kept serving, and he kept saving, and he kept doing what he's asking us to do as well now, because we're now a representative of him. Here's the second thing that Jesus did that we can do as an example. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. You see, Jesus walked humbly. The Bible says that he came to serve and not be served. You know, the Bible says to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Jesus knew that he was the Son of God, but he never held it over anybody's head, did he? He never said, hey, I'm here and I'm a big deal, so you guys better do something to make that, you know, show me that you care. Show me that I'm that important. No, he washed the disciples' feet. He died for our sins. He took up his cross because that was his goal. That was his purpose. He knew that that's why he came to this earth. And God is calling us to do the same. He's calling us to be the servant of all, to defer to others, to find their need and fill it, to die to ourselves, to die to ourselves daily, to clothe ourselves in the righteousness of Christ, and to represent Christ well as his ambassador. Jesus did all of that, and as a result of that, he was able to really make a difference. Do you think Jesus has made a difference in the world today? You think a little bit of an impact? Just the little corners of the world, maybe just a tiny little bit? No, he revolutionized the world. He turned the place upside down, and he's still doing it. Why? Because he reached out in love. He took up his cross. He had compassion on people's lives. He came to serve. He came to walk humbly. He died to himself and he lived for others. And he wants to do that in and through us as well. And finally, the third thing that I want to encourage you with this morning, if you're struggling to make sure that the words that you say are words that are honoring and helpful and uplifting and encouraging and loving, be Spirit-led. See, Christ is in us. Christ lives in you. If you are a Christian, then Jesus lives in you. His Spirit lives in you. You see, Jesus, when he came to this earth, he was very intentional in all that he said. There's a lot of things the Bible says in the book of John that there's a lot more stuff, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is the idea. There's a lot more stuff that I could have written, but the books of the world couldn't contain them of what Jesus did. But I'm giving you the stuff that's important. The Holy Spirit says, I'm giving you the stuff that's important. And we see that part of that is that Jesus was very intentional in the things that he said. The Bible says he only said and did what his Father told him to say and do. Boy, that's a great pattern for us. Again, if we're to be like Christ, let's also be like Christ in that. And by the way, all of this that I'm talking about with Jesus was as a result of him spending time with God in prayer. See, the Lord can help us in the words that we say. Spend some time in prayer and say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I give you the reins of my tongue. We live in this silly surface social media culture. And we live in this agenda-driven, sensationalized 24-hour news cycle. And we live in a toxic political environment. And we live in a culture right now where words are cheap, words are hurtful, and words are manipulative. But we as followers of Christ have been called to a higher plane, a higher place. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm not going to follow the patterns of this world. I'm not going to follow its model. I'm not going to let that be what I do. We're just kind of sojourners passing through. Have you ever thought about that? This is not the place that we plant our flag and say, I'm here forever. No, we're just passing through. You ever thought about that? Think about that for just a moment. So as we pass through, we realize that this world is not our home. It's not our final destination. We carry the light of Christ so that others walking in darkness can see the light in us and be saved. That's why we're here. So the words that we say, they're a big deal. And the words that we say make a big difference in others for the good and for the bad. So let's be like this person described in Proverbs 18:4. It says this, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. You know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. So let's get Jesus, the Word, more deeply into our hearts, into our lives, and give Him complete access to our complete beings so that we can get His healing words more regularly out of us instead of the words that are in our flesh that maybe are more harmful. Those around us need the life-giving, that bubbling brook of wisdom in us, of Christ, that comes from Him out from us. You know, the Bible says that one day we're going to give an account for our words. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says this, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. So if you remember nothing else from today's message, I want you to remember this one thing, that every single word that you utter, we will all one day stand before God and be held accountable for it. That should be something that you consider the next time that you want to say words that you know aren't helpful. They're not healing. They're not Christ-like. Because you see, our words can draw people to Christ or they can push them away. I certainly don't want anyone to go to hell because of my careless, hurtful, and harmful words towards them. And I don't think that you do either. It's a sobering thought when you think about it, that every word I'm going to be held accountable to. But there is a remedy. As we just said, walk in Christ-like companion towards compassion towards others. Walk humbly before the Lord. Serve others. Die to yourself. Take up your cross. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart so that what comes out points people to Jesus and not away from Jesus. Amen? Amen. And let's make our prayer the heart cry of David, King David. And I think if you know these words, you can say these with me. Say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. Amen? What a great prayer to pray. I'm going to ask Linda to come up and I want to read to you this real brief poem as she comes. It says this, a careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. But a gracious word may soothe the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. And a loving word may heal and bless. I want to encourage you as people maybe say things to you, don't respond in kind. People say ugly words to you, hurtful words to you. They're just speaking out of their hurt, just speaking out of anger. They're just speaking out of whatever it is that's going on in their lives. Oh, God help us today. God help us today. I want you to stand with me this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment. Lord, that you'd help us with our words. Lord, words hurt, but they also heal. words can represent the world, or they can represent your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We invite you into our hearts, into the garden of our speech, into the garden of our words. I pray that you'd help us to extract those seeds, identify those things that are there. Show us, Holy Spirit, those seeds that are there that keep producing these fruit that are not somebody that we want to be. But instead, Lord, show us those seeds that we can remove, and then give us your seeds, the fruit of the Spirit. And that way, as we cultivate those, that it's going to be good fruit. Lord, we give you not just our tongues, but we give you the root of our tongues, which is our heart. God, help us to not ever respond in kind to ugliness and hurtful stuff. Help us instead, Lord Jesus, to simply walk in compassion as you did. Sees beyond the hurt and the ugliness, that takes up our cross and dies to ourselves. And that, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us, fill us, empower us, lead us, and may we always, always, in the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O God, our Redeemer, redeem our speech for your glory. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to invite those that are maybe standing here today, maybe you're viewing from Facebook Live this morning. And if you have listened to this and you think, wow, I really never thought about that, and realize that there's some things that I've said and some lifestyle choices that I've lived out that are really not pleasing to the Lord, and maybe the Holy Spirit's just speaking to your heart right now and saying, won't you invite Jesus into your life to help you? Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've never asked Jesus in your heart. Today, I invite you to do that. Give him your heart. And in every area of your life, your speech, your actions, your goals, your possessions, let him be the Lord of every area of your life. I invite you, won't you? With every eye closed and head bowed, if that's you this morning, you need Jesus in your life, just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I want what you're offering here this morning. I need Jesus in my life. I need to ask him into my heart. Anybody at all, lift up your hand and put it right back down. We'll pray together in prayer. Anybody at home that's watching, also just wherever you are, just lift up your hand. Just acknowledge this. Even if you're the only one there, the Lord is there with you. You're not alone. He sees your heart. I want us to all pray this prayer together. Whether you raised your hand or not, would you just pray this prayer? Say, Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Won't you cleanse me from all my sins and make me righteous in you? Thank you, Jesus, that all of my sins are wiped clean. And now you're living in my heart as the Lord of my life. I give you my tongue. I give you my heart. I give you all of me, and I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. These altars are open this morning. I just want you to just ponder real careful. Now, here's the thing. As soon as I dismiss you today, by the way, this whole sermon was filled with words, wasn't it? Words. So we're going to have an opportunity after I dismiss for us to chat with one another. And this is a safe place, right? This is a place where we can kind of practice what I just preached. So, by the way, this message was intended for nobody in particular. It was probably, if anybody's, intended for me. As I'm pointing the finger, I'm pointing three back to me. I just need the Lord to help me, and I just pray the Lord would help you too, because the world needs words that are kind and loving and point people to Jesus. And we are those vehicles. We are those ambassadors for that. So let's walk that out this week, and let ask the Holy Spirit to check the words at the gate, right? And make sure, even if you have to bite your tongue in two, do it, right? Yeah? No. But just stop in mid-sentence. If you start it and you know it's not pleasing, look like an idiot and don't finish the sentence, but at least you're not saying something hurtful, right? And maybe turn around and say, wait a minute, I don't need to say that. I need to say this instead. And let the Holy Spirit begin to build that muscle in you, right? All right.